economist at Spartan Capital, Peter Cardillo, rejoins us here on Business for Breakfast. Good morning, Peter. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning to you. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. So, obviously, it seems like at least the removal of tensions, devil in the details, but the markets are looking up and up on this news out of the agreement.
Well, absolutely, you know, and obviously it's good news because NAFTA gets a facelift. Now, of course, you know, there's still a lot of deals that have to be ironed out. And, of course, the question is who will really benefit and who will not benefit. But it's a one situation for now. It removes a cloud over the market. It doesn't, however, indicate that perhaps maybe there'll be some sort of an agreement with China just yet. And I think that's really where the key is. But, you know, it's the first day of a new quarter, and this headline news is certainly being taken as favorable. And we can see the indices are going to up rather, going to open up rather strongly on the upside, new high territory for the indices, at least for the Dow and S&P, and that's, you know, from a technical perspective, it's good news. And I suspect that as the news fades, perhaps some of the gains can fade as well. And I say that because the one problem that I think the market is ignoring is the fact that yields are moving higher. And why are they moving higher? Well, very simple. This announcement, as I said, removes a trade cloud over the market. And so now it's back to business. And, of course, we're going to receive this morning several macro indicators that should all be favorable, and that just points to yields probably moving higher. And, of course, we have one more relief factor here, and that is that the speculation against the Italian bonds seems to have, for now, faded, and that's another reason why we're seeing yields moving up this morning.
Well, when it comes to the whole trade situation, obviously this is a positive development. However, it does still need to go through the political machinations. It won't be until next year that it will be taken up by the new Congress, which who knows how that's going to look here in the United States. You've got Canadian elections that will be taking place. And also, December 1st, you've got the changing of the guard for the new president in Mexico, although that looks pretty solid in the minds of the Mexican government that they'll be consistent despite the changing hands. But this isn't over quite yet. It's just we've reached a very strong position compared to where we were before.
Exactly, and that's exactly why I said the headline news this morning is really encouraging. But, of course, there's a lot of things that have to be ironed out. As you pointed out, maybe a new Congress next year. And a lot of this, a lot of these agreements may not go, may not come into fruition. But the bottom line is it's political, and it makes the administration looks good because they arrived at some sort of an agreement. Now, whether or not the agreement is going to be beneficial to everyone, well, that's just a question of wait and see.
Well, the one other thing that I've been talking about, Peter Cardillo, in the last segment where I was going over these whole developments, is that I would urge the Trump administration and advocates for the president's approach caution in terms of thinking that the tariffs had any significant role in bringing about an agreement. Doesn't seem that way. For example, Canada is going to maintain, or the steel and aluminum tariffs are going to be maintained on Canada for quite some time until they reach a separate agreement. That's just one example. But also you've got the issues of China and culture and their government system being very different, where it's a whole different kettle of fish. So I would just be concerned from an investment perspective about the idea that maybe the wrong lessons are learned from this in terms of how to effectively approach trade negotiations with others.
Well, I agree with that, and I said, you know, at the beginning of our conversation, that, you know, I don't think that this changes the status quo as far as China is concerned.
Yes.
And as I said in the past, you know, China, the second largest economy, they're not going to give in that easy. And, you know, they're really not a free market economy, and to a certain aspect, that is. And so even though their economy is suffering, in fact, they said that their economy is slowed, but they also said that their central bank may have to intervene. Well, if you read between the lines, what are they saying? Probably, you know, trying to get their yuan even cheaper than what it is, and that would mean even a stronger U.S. dollar, and that would be one of their combating factors, tools, I should say.
Talking with Peter Cardillo, chief market economist at Spartan Capital, oil. I'm looking right now, for example, at WTI crude. It's up a little bit this morning, but it was up on Friday, $73.40. We've been seeing similar rises when it comes to Brent crude on the international stage as well. What are you noticing with oil, and what's the trend?
Well, I think the trend is higher, and I remain bullish on the price of oil. We're probably approaching maybe some of the high limits. I do think we'll see $80 oil here in New York. That would mean close to 90 for Brent before we see a turnaround, probably settle down somewhere between 72 and 76. And, of course, you know, that depends also on the Chinese economy. If demand should falter in a big way, then obviously we could work a little bit lower. But if they manage to stay afloat and demand out of the emerging markets in general doesn't really subside too much, then I think, 75, 80, as I said, 72, 76 oil is here to stay.
All right, well, let's go back to bond yields, and I want to ask you, in terms of the significance of these rising yields, 10-year yields right now, 3.074%, 2-year yield, 2.831%, and let's look at the 10-year, or the 30-year, or 30-year as well, is 3.22%. What is the significance? What does this mean for the average person?
Well, right now, it's really not that significant, but if we continue to climb, and I think there's a good chance that we can see by the end of the year the 10-year note get up to 3.5%, maybe even 3.75%, and obviously with the fact that the Fed is going to raise at least one more time this year, perhaps in December, and then maybe three times next year, which will bring us back up to pretty much near normality in terms of levels of rates matching economic activity. Well, what does that mean? Well, you're going to get higher credit. You're going to get your credit cards are going. You're going to be paying more for your credit cards. Obviously, you're going to be paying more to buy a car. Anything you buy in credit, you're going to be paying more. That's the bottom line, which, you know, in terms of the hike itself is actually, at this point, is not negative because rates are going up, not because you have inflation biting away at your purchasing power, but it's going up because the economy is continuing to strengthen. And if you look at the personal income and personal spending, they have been holding up extremely well, almost an average of 3 to 4/10% increase on a monthly basis. And that just simply means that consumers are going to spend more, and that's part of the reason why we're seeing a stock market that continues to move higher. Investors' confidence continues to climb.
Peter, just going to wrap it up here with you. What else is on your radar screen as we get this week started up?
Well, I would continue to look at the dollar yield spread, look at the macro news. This week we have the granddaddy report of the month, non-farms. We're looking for an increase of 195,000, maybe just a little bit higher than what the street is looking for. And total unemployment unchanged at 3.8%. So if that continues, you know, up until now, we haven't really seen any major burst of wage inflation. But I would keep an eye on the hourly wages this week, which we're looking for about 16 cents. If that continues, and it continues to match that for the next, let's say, month or two, then I think wage inflation becomes a problem. And that just basically strengthens the hands of the Fed to continue to raise, perhaps even more than three times in 2019.
And finally, do you think that investors are concerned at all about political discord in Washington at this point, the Mueller investigation, questions about Rod Rosenstein, and of course the Brett Kavanaugh nomination process for the Supreme Court?
Right now, the market is not interested in that. But can there be a point in time when the political issues of Washington become a major factor? You bet.
All right, Peter Cardillo, Chief Market Economist at Spartan Capital. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for joining us here on Business for Breakfast.
My pleasure. Thank you.